Okay, today is August 29th, 1989, and I'm talking with Mala Patel at her home in Jacksonville, Florida. And this is the Mandarin area of Jacksonville. Okay, I'll need your name and address again.
Okay, Mala Patel, M-A-L-A-P-A-T-E-L, 2651 Spreading Oaks Lane, Jacksonville, Florida, 32223.
Okay, and we need your date of birth and your birthplace.
Okay, 31st May 1952, Mombasa, Kenya. In Africa.
Okay. And that was an East Indian community in Kenya that
yes.
you were born in?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And other places that you've lived besides Kenya and Jacksonville?
I've lived in England. I've lived about 1.5 years in Leeds, Yorkshire, and then another 1.5 years in London.
Oh, okay. And then you came to the U.S.?
Yes. I've been here in Jacksonville since 1977.
Okay.
Lived 6 months in New York. That's it.
Oh, uh-huh. How did you find Jacksonville? What brought you down here?
The weather.
Oh, uh huh.
Because it's more tropical like Africa, so that's what I'm used to.
Don't like the cold weather in New York?
I don't like the cold weather, no.
Not too many people do.
No.
Okay. Did you come with your husband to the U.S., though?
No, he came first and he got a job at University Hospital in Jacksonville as a resident in medicine. And we moved down 6 months later, and I came with him to Jacksonville, but he had the job before I came to the States.
Okay. And your present occupation also?
Well, I'm trying to be a good travel agent. I hope I succeed in that. Mm-hmm. I just started in January.
Okay. You and Point of Lachantherum started
mm-hmm.
that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How's the business going for you?
It's good.
Oh, you like it?
It's interesting. It's like a hobby more than a business. And it's really interesting. That's what I thought I would like to do, so in my spare time.
Yeah. I bet it involves a lot more than spare time, though.
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay. Well, you've helped us out a number of times with the folk dances from India.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what particular style you specialize in there.
I come from the west part of India, which is Gujarat. And we specialize in folk dances like Ras or Garbas or Rajasthanis, and not like in the south they have the classical Bharatnatyams and all. No, I know a little bit about that, but mostly it's folk dances with sticks and Garbas and Ras.
The Bharatnatyam is kind of more similar to ballet in the U.S., right? In the way that it's taught and passed on?
Yes. Yeah. But it is much more easier, except that it's some of it is on the toes, the Garbas and all. You always have to work with your toes.
Oh, with the folk dances?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. You were mentioning the three different types of folk dances.
Okay. One is the Ras, which is played with the sticks.
Oh, okay.
Which Ankit and Niddle did. At the school.
Right, where they're
one
stick in each hand.
One is Garbas, which you just dance with clapping your hands and movements around a circle.
Okay.
And these are the dances which involves all people, or you can have it done in a rhythmic way with costumes and all.
Oh, I see.
And they have Rajasthani dances, which is a movement, a swirling movement, you know, and you wear voluminous gagras with a petticoat, you know, and you swirl a lot in those dances.
Okay. Are those done typically by men or women, or is it mixed?
Mixed, or either men, women, or just men, or just women, you know, it can be done anyway.
I see, yeah. I remember
it has to coincide with the song, what it is, you know, the meaning of the song.
Oh, okay. Okay. And these are all pretty unique to the Gujarati area
mm-hmm.
of India?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are they spread throughout other parts of the country, or is it just mainly right in that area?
It has spread to the Bombay part of the area, because a lot of Gujaratis are now living in Bombay.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's a big group in the Maharashtra state, and they would dance the same thing, not in a hall or anything. Their hall is few to come by, but they will do it on the streets in a circle, like go out from one street and come back into the other, and you know, I mean, it's
uh-huh.
they do it, and there are lots of people doing that at midnight and all.
Huh. So these would be used oftentimes for festivals and
this
celebrations.
This is a special time for 9 days that comes around September or October, depending on the Indian calendar.
That's Diwali?
No, that's Navratri.
Oh.
This year it will be starting around 28th or 29th of
uh-huh.
September.
What does that celebrate? What's the significance behind it?
This celebrates the goddesses, the Ma Kali and all. It celebrates the goddesses of the Hindu religion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mom, let's go work.
Okay, she's getting a doll here from the Gujarati calendar. Is that Neera? Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You have this one.
Yeah, the tape's running again. You were telling me a little bit about some of the dances, the folk dances being performed as part of festivals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that typically where you'd see these types of dances in India and the Indian community in Africa?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
That's the Gujarati community in Africa, yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, you will see it. But all the other communities also of Indian origin join in because it's like discoing for them, you know, I mean, it's...
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
They all have fun into it, you know, because it's very easy to pick up, you know.
Oh, uh-huh.
Except with when you have the one that you do practice on and dance and have certain rhythms for certain lines of the song and you have to memorize it, then it's difficult because each step is different. But this is just one rhythm, each step.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. And it's pretty easy to learn it?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, you can learn it when you come on the 29th.
Okay.
This is the calendar. This year, I don't tear the pages because... Okay, this year it starts on the 30th September, which is a Saturday, and we have the Indian calendar. We run the days by number 15. I don't know why that's a mistake here on the thing, but that's day one, and that's day two. It runs for 9 days, and that is the goddess on a line, if you can see the picture, you know.
Okay.
But the festival will start here on 29th because it's a Friday, and Saturday, yeah.
Which goddess is that?
That is Ma Kali or Durga, either. I mean, it's all goddesses. There are lots of goddesses in the Hindu religion.
Yeah, thousands and thousands,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the main ones are Ma Kali and Durga, Ambaji, yeah.
And these particular forms of folk dances that you do would be done by the Hinduist community rather than by the Muslim?
Yeah, no Muslims. No, this is only Hindu people who do that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm kind of wondering how you got started with it and how you picked these dances up. Where were you first exposed to them?
When I was a little kid, I started learning classical dances because my mother always liked it. And I started going to certain classes in Kenya, whatever was offered to me over there, because it's a different country, different environment, and you have to learn whatever you get, you know. It's not like in being in India. And I learned quite a bit over there. But the folk dances happens every year for 9 days. And as soon as I can remember, I've been going to it ever since I was kid. And it's every year, so...
Oh, I see.
It just comes naturally into it. And it's coming into my kids here because we have it over the... Not all for all 9 days, but we have it over the three-week period, over the weekend, Friday, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the school thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But when I was being brought up, it used to be just in the yard. We will have lots of other neighbors come in and we just did it in the common yard or something. And... it was not so hard or difficult to get her, but here it is difficult for the kids to go to school early morning. And
yeah, especially if you've got...
Yeah, it's a long day here, yeah. There we break off for lunch, so we have about 2 to 2.5 hours off during the day after school. After we break off around 12:30, we don't go to school till 2 to 30, and then we break off again at 3:30, so we come home for lunch.
Okay. Yeah, it gives you a lot more time to celebrate your festivals.
Festivals, yeah. So in the evening, we are not that tired.
Uh-huh.
And the dinner and everything, it's not a rush thing like we have it here. It's dinner time and it's busy time for us. There, it's lunch time, so everything is got over by during lunch. And at in the evening, it's just what you have pleasure you want to do. So it's not hectic, yeah.
It sounds like it involves the neighborhood a lot more than what you would have over here, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other types of things would be celebrated at the festival? What other kinds of things would go on besides the folk dance?
During that time, people fast, but that's going away a lot. People don't do that often now. But other than that, that's about it. They dance from like 8 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, it's for long hours. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are these pretty similar to the dances that you would see in India? Are they almost the exact same thing, or have they been kind of adapted by...
The regular dancing, you know, it's the same thing. Maybe the steps are different, or the rhythm may be different, or the songs nowadays would be different, because the music played here is going into more of a Western rhythm a little bit. Maybe the song is, the singing is same, but the beat, they will introduce the drum. Some of the musicians put the drum in. Whereas in India, we have the tablas or the dhol.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different because you mixture it up with the other music
Kind of
the Western world, yeah.
Yeah, sort of picking the best out of both worlds there, mixing it together.
Yeah, so it becomes a little bit different. Instead of calling ras, dandiya is the sticks. Now they call it disco dandiya ras. I mean, they have the disco music in it, you know, so...
Oh, uh-huh. So it continues to be real popular.
Popular, yeah. Yeah, because of the teenagers here would love to have a little bit of disco music rather than the authentic music. Yeah.
Oh, it's really colorful to see the ras and those being performed. But when they are dancing with the gowns and...
There'll be about almost 300-400 people on the floor doing the dance at that time, at one time.
Wow, that'd be spectacular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Would it be used for other holidays too? Are there other special holidays that incorporate the dancing?
Not that incorporate the dancing. That's the main dancing part for Gujarat. But we have Diwali.
Oh.
And over here we started putting the culture into it. It's not done that way back home. Like during Diwali we would light up everywhere and have candles all around the house. And clean up the house and cook a lot of food, you know, snacks and this. And on the next day after... And make pictures on the floor in the front to welcome everybody. And the next day after Diwali, it's New Year's, and we visit people's house. But we have lots of fireworks. That's what Diwali is, fireworks. Mm. But here, we just make it into a cultural event so that the kids dance and have some cultural activities during Diwali time.
Yeah. And again, with Diwali, it's oftentimes a mixture of different types of dances, East Indian dance traditions.
Yeah, and it's not solely for Gujarati dances. We have North Indian dances, we have South Indian dances, and we have Bhangra, which is authentic to the North Indian, and we have those dances too.
What are those ones like?
They are just, basically, they jump around the men, women, or something, and they have a scarf in their hands, and... it's a very different music. I'm trying to learn that myself this year to teach Niro, you know, for Diwali. Because I have a very good song on it. So I'm trying to understand that song and work on it,
yeah. In talking to Purnima, she said that living here in Jacksonville was interesting for her because she grew up with the South Indian traditions, but coming to America, she suddenly got introduced to traditions from all over different parts of India.
Right.
Whereas otherwise in India, she wouldn't have been exposed to a lot of the...
Yeah, in my case, it's very different because I was exposed to all the other religions and other ways of life with other Indian community because Africa was a mixture of, like here, we are a mixture of all caste community, like from Italy, from France and all in Africa, it's same, like there were a lot of Europeans there. A lot of Indians, but from all parts of India, so I was exposed to the whole thing since I was growing up. So to me, it's not strange.
Yeah.
I would know what the Sikh religion is, or I would know what the Muslim religion is, or what they celebrate, so it is
I was curious what that community was like in Africa there.
Yeah. Every town, little town you go in Africa has a Hindu temple, has a Muslim mosque, has a church, and it has a Sikh Gurudwara, which... you know, what the Sikhs in North India have.
Right.
You will see in every little town in Africa.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's a long history of settlement of Indians in Africa then?
Yes, there is, but I have not gone deep into it, but my mother's grandfather moved in 1895. He was working for the railways with the British government in India, and they wanted workers in Africa, and he saw it as an opportunity of good earnings for his family, so he moved down. And it's been generations since.
I see.
Kenya is a British governing country. It was, but it's independent now.
Yeah. Are a lot of the Indian settlements in East Africa, or is that throughout the whole continent?
Most of them were in East Africa, quite a few in South Africa at that time. But then a couple of Indians migrated into Congo, Zaire, Rhodesia, just around the 50s, not like long back, like in East Africa, but around. But quite a few were there back then too in South Africa in the early century, you know.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to get back to the dances just a little bit. I'm wondering about some of the, in the Bharatanatyam, Purnima was telling me about a lot of times they tell stories and they have symbolism through the different gestures like that. Mm-hmm. Does that show up in the dance tradition that you grew up with?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you give me an idea of some of the stories or symbolism behind it? Like, what would be a typical story that might be acted out in the dance?
The dances that the Gujaratis do for the Garbas is like pleasing the goddess, so that they are dancing, you know, with their feet and showing the sacrifice that they are dancing and getting their feet tired.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's sort of a sacrifice, you know.
Uh-huh. Kind of like the kids dancing on the hot pavement at the University of North Florida.
Yeah.
Asian Pacific Festival there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, so the aim is to kind of show your dedication by the dance?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is there symbolism in like the hand movements? Like Purnima was telling me how
not like in classical. No,
yeah.
No, they just could be like with two hand claps, or it could be by three hand claps, or no bending down, or maybe bending down. But as far as I don't think this maybe very authentic people would know. But no, it hasn't been.
I see.
It's not a classical because it's a folk, you know, and.
Okay. Yeah.
You do have like a Neeral did a Rajasthani dance. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. It was she got a first prize in Tampa.
Okay.
And it's a swirling movement. It means she's talking about her husband and all. And it does express quite a few of the movements.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I think your daughter had performed that one on stage at the elementary school that we went to.
Yeah.
What about costumings? Are there certain types of costumes that would only be associated with Ras versus some of the other ones?
No, it's similar. Like the boys would wear white top and bottom, but the authentic way is wearing a keri. I don't know whether you came to the Gujarati Samaj function. There are two Diwali functions.
Right. I came to the first one with the Indian Cultural Society.
Okay. The Gujarati Samaj is solely a community. It's a different association. Indian Association is all Indians. Gujarati Samaj is just the cultural activities of the Gujaratis, you know.
So
that they have different Gujarati Samaj function for Diwali too. The cultural activities are different. We are trying to make it one, but it's always going to differ because the cultural activities are very different for the Gujaratis. And the food is different, so they want to have their own after the Indian Association. So they don't mix, have it on the same day to conflict.
I see. Uh-huh.
And
they were doing the Rajasthani there as part of
they
that?
Did, Neeral did Rajasthani, and my husband, myself, we did the Ras. And they were a different outfit, the Mandu, with a headband on, red headband, and a different costume. Like the top would just come up with wrinkles, and it would have some gold or.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
I see.
Yeah.
Which dance traditions are the earliest ones of the East Indian dance traditions there? Would Bharatanatyam be older than the folk dances, or is that too hard to tell?
That's too hard because I've never researched that or I've never lived in India. Another dance is a tipni dance, which we did about a couple of years back. It's a long stick with a... And here we just use a broomstick with a round circle base to it, a flat wood piece of wood. But in it became a dance when in olden days when people were building the roads, they had to plow down or press down the tar, you know, and they were getting tired, so that they would started singing a song and made it into a folk dance. Now it's it's something like that. And they would beat into the tar to make the roads. It was not done with tractors or anything like that, or with the rollers or anything. So they used to hand do it. So they would get tired. So they would use one hand, and they would use two hands. And then they started making into a dance. And
kind of like a little plunger.
Now it's formed into a dance now.
Huh.
It's a folk dance, yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see those things kind of coming out a lot. Like some of the
like
dances.
Sometimes you just do it that way, and then in the dance you would lift it up and then press it down, you know, and that's how it's done in the dancing.
Huh.
Yeah.
That happens in quite a few other cultures too, where they'll pick like common tools of the work and then incorporate that into dance.
The other dance is a supra dance, which is also folk dance. Like when we are making grain, when we are grain from a harvest, we have supposing take the rice grain. The hull has to be separated from the rice, so they have this sort of a square thing. Like they do it like that, and the wind would separate the hull from the rice, and the rice would fall. And they started making that into a folk dance. The other dance is from when women used to go and fetch water from the wells, and they have the pot like that, you know, it goes like that, and they carry it on their head or on the side or something, and that started into a folk dance too.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. That's called matki dance, you know, water dance, you know.
This is interesting because it seems like the folk dances kind of show people's everyday lives.
Right.
Whereas
right.
the Bharatanatyam is more into the mythology and religion.
Yeah, even like churning of the butter from the milk. Like in olden days, they used to, I don't know how it was done here, but in India it was done by pulling two strings. So that also has become into a folk dance. This is solely for entertainment, not like day-to-day dancing, no. Whereas Ras and Garba is like everyday dancing now, but that all are folk dances that the people prepare for entertainment and all that stuff. Yeah.
You were mentioning about how they decorate the homes before with the walkways or the set of the ones. Is that kind of with the rice flour?
Rice flour or flowers or colored powder and all. And
I think I'd seen that acted out in a dance a dance session one time also, where the women were like acting as if they were drawing on the pavement or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that called in Gujarati?
Rangoli.
Rangoli. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think in the southern Indian women, I talked to Kolam, K-O-L-A-M.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was also kind of curious of what languages you speak.
Gujarati.
Oh.
I speak Gujarati, but I know quite a bit of Hindi.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Hindustani. That's the main language of India. Very common language to everybody, and I speak that, and not that fluently. I don't know how to read or write Hindi, but I can speak and understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you speak Swahili at all?
Yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
I speak Swahili and understand it,
yeah.
But not. I don't know how to read or write. No.
Uh-huh. And most Africans would have at least some background in Swahili, I understand.
Yeah. Nowadays, the kids have to learn Swahili. We didn't, but we just learned it with the servant because we had to communicate with him.
I see.
So.
Okay. I was also wondering about, with some of the costumes for the dances, is there any special makeup or ways that they would prepare the hair or anything like that that would show up for that?
No, the hair should be long. It always used to be. They would never allow a short hairs like we cut, but it always used to be long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, made into a braid or two braids or whatever, or a bun.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, I've seen them painting the hands and the feet sometimes.
That's for the weddings.
Oh, that's just for weddings?
Yeah, in ours, it's just for weddings. So for dances, they just put the red stuff. That's for dancing part, for entertainment.
Oh.
But for the orange stuff, that's called mehndi, or that is only for weddings.
Okay. We got a phone call, so I'll put this on pause here.
Okay,
we're back here after a short break. I was also wondering about the music that they'd use to accompany this. In Africa, was it live music oftentimes, or would you go with recorded music?
Live music. We used to have a lot of bands and music groups who would come and sing and play the authentic Indian instruments, not like here that they use the drum. They used to play the authentic harmonium, tabla, and all those instruments in Africa,
Did you use the tabla and the harmonium?
Tabla, harmonium, there's another instrument called the dol. And then we have the kanjri. What is the kanjri called?
Banjo.
Oh. We have those.
Did you use like the tamburna and the sitar also?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that used in the dance?
The sitar is not used in the folk dance music.
Yeah.
It's more classical.
I was curious about that.
Yeah,
I wasn't quite
classical.
Sure.
It's classical. Yeah.
Yeah. What about the tambura instrument? Or is that just always accompanied sitar?
Yeah.
How about in the U.S. here, you're using mainly recorded, aren't you?
When the kids do the dancing, it's mostly recorded. You know, we can't go with the, because they are so, you're not that good at it, and it's safer to do it with the recorded. But when the folk dance festival, when it's going to be on the 29th, we have live groups all the years. We don't have it on records now.
Great.
These are the groups. And this year we are having three different groups coming to Jacksonville. They are originally from India, and they are just going to come and perform here as musicians here.
Oh, and they're just touring around the U.S.
Yes,
now?
Yeah. Out of that, only one I know will be using the drums, but the rest of them will be the authentic Indian instruments.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
There's a few people here in Jacksonville that play some of the instrument, right?
Yes, yeah.
Play mainly tabla?
Yeah. They play harmonium or there's an instrument called tuntun. I don't know if you've heard of that. I came to know about it when I came here, when he started playing.
Mm-hmm.
And one plays banjo,
one
plays tabla. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's also a representative. He's from Gujarati. Some of the group is from there.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm kind of interested also in how the dance, East Indian dance situations here in Jacksonville. I'm kind of wondering what main types of dance traditions you see here among the Indians.
Most of the Indians here don't understand the Bharatanatyam, which is the classical, because it's very authentic of the southern part of India, because it is done, number one, in a classical form, and the songs are all in the South Indian language, which nobody understands. So even if you are seeing the hand movements, you cannot understand. To understand a dance, you have to know both. So people like, if they see one dance, that's enough for the Indians here, but they don't want to see another one done because it's not, they don't understand it.
You know?
Whereas in Hindi, if they do a dance in Hindi, almost all Indians understand that, so they enjoy those. And nowadays the Hindi songs and all are so fast moving that, like, the crowd does not like the slow songs or anything. They like the fast moving things.
I noticed also that some of them, they do dances from like movies and popular musicals.
That's what is very popular.
Yeah.
Classical, only if you appreciate classical. Like if I had done Bharatanatyam, I would appreciate. I still appreciate, but I don't understand the songs. So for me, it has to have a meaning for me to understand.
Yeah.
Because I may not know what that movement is until I understand what it means.
Yeah.
So that is, the language is spoken in the South are very difficult to understand. Whereas Hindi, if you know Gujarati, it's very easy to pick up Hindi. And if you know Hindi, it's very easy to pick up the North Indian language, Punjabi, and even the Maharashtrian language, which is from around Bombay. It's not difficult because you can pick up few of the words which are similar, but South Indian languages are very difficult to understand.
I see. They were telling me that the South Indians kind of known for really maintaining the older cultures, whereas the Northern and Western Indians kind of assimilating with Western influences and more contemporary things. Where are they mainly performed around here, the dances, in Jacksonville?
They are performed here, like, in September at Jacksonville Country Day School. We just rent the gym over there.
I see. Yeah, it's mainly functions of the different Indian communities there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you enjoy doing these for the wider community in Jacksonville, or would you prefer to do them mainly among Indians, or any preference?
No, anybody is welcome to come.
Oh.
I mean, there's no restrictions to that. I mean, anybody is welcome to come and watch. I mean,
How about for you? What kind of audiences do you like to play for the best? Or does it?
When we play there, everybody's playing, so there's hardly any audiences. But when we perform for Diwali, it's mostly Indian community,
I'm also wondering, who are the main dance teachers here in Jacksonville?
There's none who are qualified, let me tell you that one thing, you know. Like Purnima, she did a couple of years in Bharatanatyam. I did a couple of years in the folk dances in more like a Kathakali type for the North Indian and the Gujarati. But that was at a very young age, so whatever I know, I learn from the tapes or from TV or something. So there are no set teachers in Jacksonville who can come and teach the children the professional way.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever we conjure up, we just go ahead and do it.
It's mainly you and Purnima
putting
together.
Mm-hmm.
Purnima's also telling me that sometimes they bring in dance teachers from other parts of the country, or people might be passing through a little bit and they help out.
Yeah, she had brought one in this year that was the first time in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
And she came and taught the kids 2 years, but it's not really enough because they are not learning the basics. The basics will take you about 6 months to learn, just like in ballet. But she just came and taught one dance, you know. So, but they actually don't know the basics about dancing.
Is there an interest among the kids in learning this?
Yeah, there is, yeah. Unfortunately, we live in Jacksonville. If you were in New York or Washington or Los Angeles, there are a lot of dancing schools with professional teachers. In fact, one of the world dancer, she was a classical dancer in Bharatanatyam. She was a very good actress. She has opened a school in New York.
How about here in Florida? Are there some pretty good areas?
There's none.
Nothing
that I know from North Jacksonville to South. I don't know of any.
You've also helped your kids with some competitions there, coached them along for that.
Yes, I taught Niral for Tampa, and she won the first prize. She was youngest in the group because all the girls were like 15, 16 years of age. Hmm. She was 8 years old, and she won the junior folk dance.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That was people from all across the South who'd come
South, Alabama, Georgia.
So which kind of dances do you like? Do you like the folk dances or the Bharatanatyam ones?
Do you like to do Raske? He doesn't understand. The Bharatanatyam is the only done by the girls most of the time.
Okay.
But he doesn't do that. He doesn't understand that. So he likes to play with the sticks, right?
Yeah.
And he can swirl the sticks.
Okay.
You want to show him how you swirl it? Just go get well.
I was listening to a program the other day on East Indian music on National Public Radio, and they were talking about the talls, the rhythmic cycles that they have. I think it's called a tall. They were talking about how the differences between the rajas and then the drum beats. And they said sometimes they'll have rhythmic cycles that can go up to like over 106 beats or so.
Like
that.
Ragas.
Oh, the ragas. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazingly complex the way it all fits together there.
Yeah. Here the crowd is very enthusiastic when it comes to doing these folk dances that are coming next month. The musicians get tired. They really get tired with their hands beating the big drum or the stick. They play the drum also with the stick, you know, thick, long stick. But the crowd never gets tired, even if it's 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, and they always outbeat the musicians here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a competition, like, you know, you can see the competition happening between the musicians here, you know, like they are trying to play it faster, the crowd is trying to dance faster, and the competition is going on. Now who's going to win? Are the crowd going to go and sit down after getting tired, or the musicians going to sit down? So in the end, it always becomes a competition, and most of the time, 99%, the musicians have lost. They start saying, you know, it's enough, you know, they start telling that on the mic and afterwards, you know.
That sounds kind of similar to like the square dances in America, where we have, you know, maybe some old-time string band musicians playing, and they'll just play the same songs over and over and over again for the dancers, and sometimes those can go on for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
You can get really tired at the end of dancing.
Oh, this goes on for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, bet on that.
That's really interesting because a lot of times...
It's a good way of losing weight. Looking forward to that, you know. It's really good exercise because you're moving all the time.
Oh, it looks like the dancers are just having a blast when they're performing those.
Yeah.
You have high school students who are dancing those sometimes also. Okay. He's got his sticks back to the rest.
Just the turn of the like how you turn.
Oh. So like twisting a baton. So this will also be incorporated into
the... Like when he bangs once with the two sticks, and then he'll turn and...
So first you hit it like this, then you go like that, then you go like that, then you go like this again, then you go like that, and you move on to the next person.
That's it. Yeah, what I really need to do is do a videotape of it and then kind of analyze it that way to figure out who's going
to
show.
We have a couple of videos too because we take them every year, so.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
I'll show it to you so what it looks like. She brought you the trophy that she got.
Wow. That's impressive. So, you're going to win again this year?
It used to be, it was supposed to be on the Labor Day weekend, the competition, but they did not get enough entries because people didn't send it in. Being a Labor Day, people were out for the summer, so they didn't have much time to prepare for the entries. So the people who were organizing didn't get enough entries, so it's been postponed to January now.
Oh, I see.
This year's competition.
Yeah. How long does the competition go on for? Is that over a couple of days?
No, just one evening. Like, it would start about 3, 4 and go into 10 o'clock or
okay.
something like that, you know, with breaks and all.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's done in Tampa most of the time. They rent the Tampa Dome. And they spend about $40,000-$50,000 just for the afternoon.
Huh.
Renting and the instruments and the video man and all that stuff.
Yeah. I've noticed here in Jacksonville that there's a big interest among the Indian community to maintain a lot of the culture, some aspects of it, to help promote it.
Yes, there is a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. How do you account for that? What do you think makes that so important too?
Because the heritage is lost when you come to this country. Like, I'm sure most of, not only the Indians feel that, also the Europeans feel that they've lost their heritage. Like, some people who are Italians for 2-3 generations, they've lost their heritage entirely because it's a mixture. And we feel that the kids will be losing their heritage over the period, because I was brought up in a place where all Indians lived and they continued with their heritage. A little bit difference, but not much difference from India. And whatever I can pass on will not be taken completely by the children. When it's their generation, it will be much less. So we would like to try for them to hang on, because this is the first generation of Indians here, so it is still there.
Yeah,
but I don't know down the road how good it will be.
Yeah, that explains part of the reason why it's so strong, because
yeah.
Recent immigrants there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The immigration started in the 40s or 50s, so
mm-hmm.
it's just the first generation. Maybe a few of the second, but most of them are like 20, 25 years maximum, 30 years maximum.
Mm-hmm. What main parts of the culture do you see people maintaining?
All the festivals, fasting, not eating beef. We are not allowed to eat meat at all. We are vegetarians, but most of them now do. But very few try to teach their children not to, just stay away from the beef, which I do. I myself am a pure vegetarian. I don't cook meat at home, but I try to tell my kids to be just vegetarian so far that they don't eat beef.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, but they do eat chicken and the other meats, but not...
So the religion's maintained, not less?
No, not really, because they are not supposed to eat meat at all.
Oh.
Or eggs, I mean.
Oh, is that strict?
But when you go to the store, like he said, Mom, you're not a vegetarian anymore, and I ask him and I read the cookies packet, and then it says beef lard, you know, I mean...
Mm-hmm.
So now I try to read it and see that it has some cottonseed oil or peanut oil or corn oil in the cookies or whatever I buy.
Uh-huh. Do they keep any of the games, or traditional games from India? I was kind of curious about that one.
The traditional game of India is cricket. I don't know if you know about cricket. It was introduced to India by the British government in the couple of centuries back. So that's the traditional Indian games that I know of, because my brother-in-law is the captain of the team from Kenya.
Yeah.
He goes and plays for the World Cup.
So you play that one, Will?
Huh?
You play cricket?
I like this one, but I didn't get a chance to play it here.
Oh, I see.
Because there's no team here.
Yeah, yeah.
No bats or balls. Not organized.
How about games that you might play like in the evening, like here in the U.S. you might get together and play cards, or just kids games and things like that?
Yeah, we play cards.
Yeah.
But it's similar to the English versions of cards.
Uh-huh.
It's called 7-8 or something, right? That's what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
But it's similar
that thing
to the...
where they have that ghost.
Oh, okay. That is... No, that's not a game. She's talking about certain ways people call spirits, you know, and I was telling them about it, but that's not a game, no.
Kind of religious traditions?
No, it's not religious.
No?
They don't want to hear about it in religion because they think it's evil, you know. No, but they do have a carom board, which is a board that you shoot dice into four holes on the side that Indians play here. Mm-hmm. I don't have one because I've never bought one, but it's another game.
I was kind of curious about that one because I just thought of the idea that there might be some games maintained there.
There used to be another. We used to play a lot when we were children, but I don't see even in Kenya or even in India people play that because we used to have a. I don't know, you may be having those two, a wood like that pointed at both ends, and you have a stick and you hit in one end, and then you, when it flies up on the air, you shoot it, you know.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's, you know, it used to be very famous, you know.
Yeah. I was wondering also if some of the traditional artwork is kept here too, like if there might be people doing batik or some of the other.
Not here, I don't know of anybody who does that, but when I make costumes, I like to do it, you know, like artistic way of the Indian way, or when we have the fire, the aarti, I would like to decorate the plate, the silver plate with flowers or rice or something like that.
Yeah.
But that is Indian art, that was done by my sister.
It's kind of an embroidery?
No, she just stuck it together with all the sequences and all.
Okay.
And that on the top she's carrying those pots with water, that's what I was talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah. I see.
They're all decorated, even the pots are decorated, that's artwork. My sister is a lot into artwork. She loves doing that. She would paint, she would buy those pots from India or from there, which are like a pottery. She will paint it and paint pictures on that.
I see. Yeah. So it's kind of like sort of tracing the outline there and then gluing the different sequins and colored threads and things like that together.
Yeah.
Is there any type of a wood carving tradition from India that might have been brought over at all? I was kind of curious about that.
I have not brought anything from India.
Yeah, I noticed you have a terrific collection of African wood carvers.
Yeah, that's my husband's hobby. I haven't. This is from India. That's a paint work from India, yeah.
Oh, this is a fabric painting?
Yeah, fabric painting.
Oh, that's really neat. Is that being done here in Jacksonville, you know?
No, I don't think so. That I know of anybody, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
But I used to embroider a lot of Indian saris a long time back. I can't show you any because I've given all of them away, you know.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But I used to do a lot of needlework.
Yeah.
A lot, you know.
Okay.
There's one in my mama's room in the back, the black powder.
Okay.
And I just took it off my saris.
Okay. Let's see, we're looking for some other parts of the Indian culture that might be maintained. I've got some of our artwork, and of course the food traditions are kept.
Yeah, a lot is maintained here. We have to have a Gujarati meal every evening.
But
I try to put in Mexican enchiladas and pizzas now so that the kids don't get bored with it.
He's in the pizza here.
Yeah.
It was interesting talking to a lot of people. They said they find it real difficult to adjust to American food. Both with
yes, I had a very hard time liking pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I really did have, but now I'm used to. I became used to it, but now it's become like that's the only thing I can go out to eat. I don't like it anymore.
Yeah. For a vegetarian, you got the pizza and salad bars, and that's about
that's
it.
About it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's okay.
Do you find the American food's pretty bland compared
to
India?
Yes, it's not. It's not spiced up or anything.
Yeah.
It's very bland.
Yeah. That's interesting because usually the perception is that Indian food is so spicy for Americans that it's too spicy for us.
Yeah, I always starve when I go on vacations. I lose weight when I'm traveling here, you know, because there's no food. You know, I can't eat much, just salads, you know.
Okay. I was wondering also, with adjusting into life in this country, was it a very easy adjustment for you? Did it take quite a bit of work to get used to American culture?
No, it wasn't that bad for me. In fact, I didn't like it here because Kenya is a place where we had both the cultural, the social, and the modernization.
Mm.
I mean, not that modern like we have it here in USA, but yeah. We had cars, we had servants and everything. Whereas here I went back because I was more used to the social life and servants.
Yeah.
So I didn't like it here in the beginning, no.
What do you think
so
of
I was
it now?
Being spoiled there with the servants around me. You know?
Oh yeah, I think I could get spoiled with that pretty easy.
Yeah, so it was for me going backwards. You know,
yeah.
The people who migrated from India, it was different because I it's more modern here. Like if in Kenya it would be houses like this over there, but in India it's not like this. So it's, for them it's a step for ahead.
Yeah. That's right, it just popped up.
It's a step ahead. For me it was like a step backward. I mean, as far as modernization goes, you know.
Yeah. I was also kind of curious on some of your perceptions about American culture. What are some of the things that stand out as being kind of major differences between American culture and what the Indians are used to? It's kind of a broad question, but I was wondering if, like, maybe...
I don't know, the only culture that I don't like about the American ways is giving freedom to the children, like we were not given, but I wouldn't do that, but it's... Like every girl can go out on a date, I mean that, or a boy, and I don't believe in that's the only vast difference of culture that I don't appreciate, you know. That's how I was brought up, but that's the culture that, you know, I mean it has to be, I don't mind having group dates or something like that, but not on one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
Till they are old enough to understand, not like 12 years, 13 years or 14 years kid comes in and says, Mom, can I go out on a date? No.
Mm-hmm.
That's the culture that I, and some parents have, I know the American parents, like if the son or girl, daughter is going out on a date and if it's, oh, they feel so happy about me, it would kill me if my son or my daughter comes and tells me that, you know, it's, that's the very vast difference that I feel, you know.
That's interesting because a lot of people have said those kind of child raising practices are some of the big things that really stand out with family life in America is quite a bit different from what Indians are used to. Another thing that I've often heard is Americans being kind of formal, like whereas in the Indian communities it's real common just to drop in on someone, whereas here it's pretty much
but
expected.
Nowadays they are also adopting it, like I myself am adopting, like I would call and see if they're home or not, or can I come over. But it's very common, you know, in even in Kenya or even in England, that they would just say knock on the door.
One final question here. I was kind of wondering what you thought of the type of school presentations like we did in Mandarin there with Pornham and your kids.
That's good, you know, because I think whatever the culture or dances that these kids do, it's just showing off to just the Indian community with who they know about. But then, you know, nobody else knows about it, what is happening, and I'm sure most of the American kids or the other, you know, they wouldn't know what Indian dancing is until they are exposed to it.
It's fun for me to do because I like to expose the kids. I was watching the kids' expressions in the front row. They were just like, their jaws were open. They had never seen anything like that before.
We got lots of letters too afterwards.
They seemed to really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
The one real interesting thing that I found was a number of the kids had known Nira and Ankit, and they didn't realize that they could dance like that, and it was kind of fun to see those kind of resources right there where they, I think they really appreciated what they were capable of.
Yeah.
Is there any suggestions that you'd have for me in changing the presentations at all to improve them?
No, that's it, I mean.
Yeah. What I tried to go is with a different sample of different forms of dances and then allow enough time to discuss it. And, okay. Well, there's a lot more that we could do with the dance things. We'd need a video camera. I think you really understand it, but maybe that'll come somewhere along the line. Okay. I appreciate your help here. This is, gives me some good background stuff here.
Okay. If you need any more questions, just call me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay.